You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Hey, it's Mae Whitman, and I play Frankie in the new Realm podcast, The Sisters. The Sisters is about a museum curator of medical oddities who investigates the origins of a mutated skeleton with two layers of bones. Soon, she uncovers an extraordinary mystery that connects her present with one family's tragic past in hauntingly dangerous ways. Listen to The Sisters wherever you get your podcasts.
Several times a week, Laura will turn to me after we get into bed and say those six little words I've been waiting to hear all day. Can I read something to you? Once I've said yes, she reaches for an item from her very cluttered nightstand and proceeds to bring that book, blog post, poem, essay, or article to life with her voice. I hope you enjoy listening to her read as much as I do. Here's this week's selection from Laura's nightstand.
Hello. As Scott said, this is On My Nightstand, and today is September 17th, but tomorrow, September 18th, is National HIV, AIDS, and Aging Awareness Day, and it's a day to call attention to the growing number of people living long and full lives with HIV and to age-related challenges of HIV prevention, testing, treatment, and care. And to commemorate this, I'm reading an essay by Melanie Brooks, who is one of my sisters in literature, and she is a member of the Moving Forward Memoir Collective, of which I am a member, and I actually went to all those beautiful women and asked them for pieces of writing, and this particular piece of writing is what I wanted to read from Melanie, and I'll tell you a little bit about her. Melanie is the author of Writing Hard Stories, Celebrated Memoirists Who Shaped Art from Trauma. She teaches professional writing at Northeastern University and narrative medicine in the MFA program at Bay Path University in Massachusetts and creative writing at Nassau Community College in New Hampshire. Her work has appeared in numerous publications, including Psychology Today, The Washington Post, Ms. Magazine, Creative Nonfiction, The Huffington Post, The Solstice Literary Magazine, and Modern Loss. That's what I'm reading from today, her essay from Modern Loss. She is completing a memoir called A Hard Silence about the lasting impact of living with the 10-year secret of her father's HIV disease before his death in 1995. She lives in New Hampshire with her children, her husband, and two labs. So this essay is called Don't Forget This Happened, A COVID-Era Plea on World AIDS Day. On a cold mid-December morning in 1995, I held my dad's hand and watched his shrunken chest rise and fall, and then stop, just like that. 10 years after he contracted HIV from a tainted blood transfusion during open-heart surgery, he was dead. Pneumocystis pneumonia, one of the most common illnesses for people with AIDS, had ravaged his lungs, while other unidentified opportunistic infections had emaciated his body. The lonely years of waiting for this inevitable ending did not prepare me for the piercing grief that swept through me then and settled deep inside my bones. And despite the 25 years that stretch beyond this moment, I feel that familiar ache now in the days creeping toward that painful anniversary. I could have never predicted that in 2020 the anniversary would be set against the horrific backdrop of a new global pandemic, that surging cases of COVID-19 would keep us from gathering from the holidays. I would never have imagined that I'd be watching the U.S. death toll tick steadily upward, surpassing 250,000 people, and that millions of others would be grieving their loss. Like many who witnessed at very close range the AIDS pandemic of the 1980s and 90s, I feel haunting reverberations in our present crisis. The early conflicted messages of how the virus is spread and what we should do to protect ourselves have produced baffling and deeply politicized denials of its risks and potential for widespread impact. Wrong-headed and racist attempts to scapegoat Asian people echoed the initial labeling of AIDS as the quote-unquote gay plague. And this, coupled with the premature belief that only older people with underlying medical conditions were susceptible, created the same false narrative that the disease was confined to a particular group of people. The disproportionate effects of COVID-19 on poor and vulnerable populations and communities of color once again highlight entrenched disparities. The wrenching stories of lives capsized by this current pandemic, so many grieving families separated from their communities of support, amplified the melancholy that predictably descends on me at the beginning of the holiday season. The hollowness feels all too familiar. When my father learned he was HIV positive in 1985, only 3 years after the first cases of AIDS were detected in Canada, our home at the time, we lived on the periphery of the communities most affected by this devastating illness. My father was not a gay man. We did not endure firsthand the appalling discrimination and stigma that members of the LGBTQ+ community faced. My father was not a hemophiliac, the largest population in Canada tragically infected by contaminated blood products. And because we were part of the evangelical Christian church and entrenched in the religious institutions that cruelly wielded AIDS as a weapon of God's wrath, it felt impossible to seek support and compassion inside its doors. For close to 10 years, we lived our experience in isolation and secrecy, bearing the burden of my father's illness and the certainty of his impending death in silence. The pain was ours alone to manage. The stark reality of COVID-19 restrictions has left many people I know in this same minefield of unsorted grief. When the mother of my dear friend died in March of COVID-19 in New York City, there was no option for her to travel to the city to be with her siblings and stepfather during those first few days and weeks of sorrow. 9 months later, they still have not gathered for a funeral service. When my uncle died in June after a prolonged battle with Parkinson's, I sat on my couch and watched his live stream memorial on my laptop, while the rest of my extended family did the same from their homes across the United States and Canada. I longed to reach out and hug my aunt and their three daughters, the close cousins who featured in most of my memories of my childhood summers. I know couples whose marriages have ended and others who are struggling. I know people who have lost jobs and homes due to the pandemic's economic fallout. I know friends who are coping with debilitating anxiety and depression, all the while they are cut off from their traditional sources of comfort. In the past 10 years, I've been working to break down the walls I built around my pain, to acknowledge what was lost in that lonely place, and to find a way to locate my family's story in the larger AIDS narrative. I didn't know that there were others like me, a generation of children who lived under the weight of uncertainty and shame as they watched a beloved parent waste away. But since beginning to voice pieces of my story, I've met some of those children and been privileged to hear their stories, which in so many ways sound like my own. The aching grief I feel in my bones is not singular. They feel it too. Together we understand the legacy of trauma that remained when AIDS stopped dominating the world's headlines and people moved on. We know the price of secrecy, however different our circumstances might have been. There are shared threads that weave us into the fabric of the collective history of the AIDS pandemic, a history that is 40 years on and is still being written. December 1st is World AIDS Day. Since the year after my dad died, I've ritualized this day with my own bit of quiet activism, donning a red ribbon that I'll wear throughout the anniversary of his death on December 13th. I'll post a picture on social media as a way to publicly acknowledge the disease that took him. Both are my ways of pleading, don't forget this happened to me and to all of us. Around the world, others will unite to show support for the 40 million people still living with HIV and pause to remember the roughly 34 million people who have died over the past four decades. In 2020, as these numbers collide with the rising toll of COVID-19 deaths, I can't help but wonder if someday in the future, I will be pinning on a ribbon of a different color for World COVID Day. We have a chance to do better for those who have suffered the greatest coronavirus losses. Physical distance has defined this pandemic, but emotional distance should not. Even if we've escaped so far without mortal wounds, we likely know someone who hasn't. Acknowledge their grief. And with a vaccine on the horizon and the hope that a semblance of normalcy could soon return, relegating COVID-19 headlines to the archives, don't leave the pain of its losses buried there too. On My Nightstand is a special segment of the Only One in the Room podcast. Today's episode was produced by Scott Slaughter, who I call Hun, and executively produced by Christina Barcy, who we call Barcy. Thank you for listening to The Only One in the Room. Please join us each Tuesday and Sunday for an incredible, brand new Only One interview, and every Friday for On My Nightstand, where I'll be reading from something that I love. If you have an Only One in the Room story or a piece of writing that you'd like to share, please submit it to theonlyonepod@gmail.com. From all of us at The Only One in the Room, we wish you dopeness, health, and prosperity.
Have you ever watched a futuristic sci-fi movie and wondered, but wait, could any of this really happen? And will I live long enough to see it? That's what our show Hypothetical is about. I'm Carrie Bechet, and on this podcast, we ask what-if questions about the future. Like, what if we could read minds? What if the world's digital data was erased all at once? What would happen if the Yellowstone supervolcano erupted? Then we explore that question two ways, through speculative science fiction and through dialogue with brilliant scientists. The result is a genre-bending narrative that's interwoven with real facts provided by literal geniuses. And spoiler alert, a lot of the science fiction out there, it's not nearly as far-fetched as you might think. Come time travel with me into the future on Hypothetical. New episodes on Tuesdays, available on all your favorite podcast apps. Just search Hypothetical. That's HYPERTHETICAL.